All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 20 for just a few moments this morning. John chapter 20. Do what? Yeah, we miss the living cross, that's for sure. Next year, we'll be back. We'll do it again. Pastor Brian has written a whole new program that we're trying to. We were going to do last year, and then we were going to do it this year, but we'll do it next year, and I think you'll enjoy it. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 1. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you, verse 15 is going to be my text verse this morning. I want to read the whole story, so pay real close attention. I will probably emphasize a couple of things that are important that I want you to pay attention to. But I want to speak to you this morning a message entitled Mary Magdalene at the Tomb. Mary Magdalene at the Tomb. All right, so let's read the story. Verse 1, the first day of the week. Now, what's the first day of the week?
Sunday,
very good. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. Now that other disciple is John, the author, the one who is telling the story here, whom Jesus loved. He always refers to himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. Very endearing term. All right. Then it says that, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, John, and came to the sepulchre. And they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. You say, well, why was that? Well, because Peter was a little elderly, and John was just a young buck, all right? So he outran him to the tomb. So John came first, verse 4, the end of it. John came first to the sepulchre, verse 5. And he, John, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Now pay real close attention here, beginning in verse 11. But Mary, as Mary Magdalene, stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. I will stop reading right there, and let's pray. And in the message, Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Let's pray together. Father, we ask now your richest blessings to be upon the preaching of the Word of God. And I pray that you will help me as I speak. I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit, empower the message from on high. And Father, I also pray that you will help our folks as they listen. I pray that you will give all of us ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And Father, I ask you to help me with what I say to be clear and to exalt the Savior. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that's done. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right. Early on this Sunday morning after the Lord was crucified, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early on that Sunday morning, early. It was still dark outside, we are told. And this was the tomb she had watched as Nicodemus and Joseph had taken the body of the Lord down from the cross and wrapped his body and then placed his body in Joseph's family tomb. Now, as Mary approached the tomb, we read that it was still dark, but no doubt the dawn was only minutes away. And seeing the stone was rolled away from the tomb, Mary ran back, apparently, to the house of John, where Peter and evidently our Lord's mother, Mary, were staying. Now, it's interesting to me that that just a few days earlier, Peter sided with the folks who were scorning and ridiculing and mocking outside the house of Caiaphas, and who questioned Peter about his association with the Lord Jesus, which, if you remember, caused the Apostle Peter to mock and to deny and to even curse that he had been even slightly connected to Jesus. But then when Jesus looked at him, we are told that Peter ran away. He ran into the night, ashamed, embarrassed, that he had so brazenly denied his friend and his Savior. But now, just 3 days later, Peter is back in the fold. So you got to give Peter credit that he so quickly repented and came back. But you've also got to give John credit that he accepted Peter back in the fold. You see, a lot of Christians would not do that. They would not do that. They would have shunned poor old Peter. Well, she announced to them, Mary announced to them, that the stone was rolled away, and she even said somebody had taken away the Lord from out of that sepulcher. And with that news, Peter and John immediately took off running toward the tomb where the body of the Lord Jesus was laid. Now, we are told that John arrived at the tomb first, but he deferred to the elder apostle Peter. And when Peter arrived, he entered inside the tomb first, and then the younger John followed after him. They noticed when they got inside The grave clothes were intact. They were not unwound from the body and just lying in a heap on the floor. No, they were still wound together as if a body was still inside, only collapsed so that they could see that his body was no longer in the grave clothes. And he was not bound inside those wrappings. He was not there. And it was obvious. He had resurrected from the grave. If someone had indeed stolen the body, they would have taken the whole thing. If they left the grave clothes there, how would they have got it out of the grave clothes without unwinding it? And so when Peter and John went inside, they saw the grave clothes wound but collapsed, and there was no body of the Savior there. So Peter and John quickly ran back. And no doubt they ran back to tell Mary, who was also staying at John's house, and the others, that Jesus had indeed resurrected from the dead, just as he said he would. But notice, Mary Magdalene stayed behind. She stayed just outside the tomb where she could look in. And when she was weeping and sobbing, she saw two angels, one sitting at the head where Jesus had been laid, and one sitting at the feet. And I want you to notice that Mary is looking in, sobbing, and these angels spot her. They then speak to her. Now, folks, I'm going to give you something here that just really shocks me. I'm going to be honest with you. This blows me away. It absolutely just blows me away. I want you to think about this. Mary Magdalene was not shaken because there were two angels sitting there. Now, be honest with me, folks. Had you been sitting there and looked in and saw two angels and they talked to you, would you not have been just a little bit freaked out? Huh? Doesn't faze her. It doesn't faze her. I mean, it's almost like this was normal. It's almost like this was normal activity for folks that were in the presence of the Lord. Could those who were in our Lord's presence have simply been used to seeing angels around him ministering to him while he was on this earth? I mean, if I saw an angel from heaven, I would probably be scared beyond my ability to speak. I would probably have just frozen right there where I was. But she simply carries on a conversation with them as if it were no big deal. I think that is so awesome. That is just amazing to me. They asked her, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Now again, folks, it would appear that she is just totally unfazed, even though carrying on a conversation with two angels that have come from heaven. And then, seeing the nonchalant manner that she turned around with her back now to the tomb, and there was Jesus, although she did not know yet that it was him. Well, that brings us now to this 15th verse where I want to preach from. I want to take my message from verse 15. And on this first Easter Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene had an encounter with the resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus. And I think three words can best describe this encounter. Three words can best describe this encounter. The first word is this: sorrow. Sorrow. Let's look at the verse again. Then Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" You see, Mary Magdalene is weeping. She's crying. There is sorrow in her heart. Now, we all know that Mary had lived a very wicked life up until the time that she met the Lord Jesus one day. And the Lord Jesus very mercifully cast seven devils out of this woman and delivered her soul from Satan's bondage. In this encounter, we see Mary was very pessimistic about things. Now, folks, think about it. This woman had been saved by the Lord. Her life completely changed. Her life completely turned around. She became so devoted and so consecrated to following the Lord. And yet we see her now as this young Christian, this young believer, and Mary exemplified a typical pessimistic attitude. And you know, there are a lot of pessimistic Christians today. You know, there really are. A lot of folks are much more pessimistic than they are optimistic. I mean, many of us today, we can learn from this verse some things that will help us. So you might want to ask why I say she was pessimistic. Well, she allowed, listen carefully now, she allowed a few negative circumstances to dictate her sorrow. Just a couple of negative circumstances were able to dictate her sorrow. Folks, think about it. She went to that tomb and that stone was rolled away. She looked inside and she saw the angels of the Lord. She saw the collapsed wounding where his body was, and yet she is pessimistic. She looks in, they've taken his body. We don't know where they took him. Man, she ought to be on her knees, bowed to the ground, praising God for what she just witnessed. But no, she's just like all the rest of us. The glass is half empty instead of half full. Hey, folks, rough times, right? Huh? We're in rough times, right? Oh, yeah. Man, just look around you. It's a mess everywhere you look. I mean, everywhere you look. But wait a minute. You've got a book that is filled with the promises of God, and each and every promise is going to be fulfilled just exactly as they were spoken. Write it down. Amen. Write it down. The Bible says in the end times, when things are bad, when everything's a mess, and there seems to be no hope at all, then is when hope is going to step out of heaven onto the clouds and call the church home to be with him. Amen. Oh, we got a lot to look forward to. We got a lot to be optimistic about. I think I've told you this story before, but John Rice was out preaching in Texas one time years ago, holding a big citywide tent revival, and while he was preaching, he said something that offended this fellow. And so after the service was over, Dr. Rice was standing down front, and this guy walks up, pulls a pistol out of his pocket, and says, "I'm going to shoot you." And Dr. Rice looked down at him over his glasses and said, "Sir, you can't scare me with heaven. You can't scare me with heaven." What an answer. I mean, you talk about quick, man. That's quick. "You can't scare me with heaven." Hey, folks, listen, it's a mess out there, but wait a minute. Heaven is awaiting the people of God. We don't need to be down and discouraged. We serve a risen Savior. They found that out on this day. He's alive. And we're on the winning side. I've told you this before. I've checked the end of the book, folks. We win. We win. The socialists don't win. We win. So cheer up. All right? Cheer up. Years ago, there was an old black preacher down south, and he was a great preacher. Man, great preachers. Theology was a little bit mixed up, but he called this sermon, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." Now, we would say it's Wednesday, but Sunday's coming. All right? But he said, "It's Friday." And he went on about all the depression and everything that was happening in his day. And he went on talking about all of Roosevelt and all that he tried to do, FDR, and trying to destroy the country back years ago. And just on and on and on he went. It's Friday. He just kept saying, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And folks, I'm telling you, the victory is ours. Just be patient. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't be a Mary Magdalene and just sit around and look at the gloomy side of everything. Realize that we're on the winning side. She was at that tomb on this third day before the sun was even up. And yet, she overlooked a bunch of positive, wonderful things, choosing the viewpoint of pessimism rather than optimism. Now, let's just think for a moment about a couple of positive things that she overlooked. You see, when she got to the tomb that morning, she ignored the fact that the tomb was empty. She ignored that. Had she not been around Jesus for a long time prior to him going to the cross? Certainly she had. Being around him, don't you think she heard the same messages that the disciples heard and the people heard? Well, of course she did. And what was that message? If I die, I'm going to raise again from the dead. 3 days later, according to the scriptures. I mean, just like it says in the Old Testament, 3 days later, I'm coming out. And then she gets to the tomb 3 days later, and he's not there. Would that not have been enough to convince you? Boy, it would me too. But you see, there's always that pessimistic spirit in some folks. She ignored the fact that there were two angels inside the tomb, one sitting where the head of the Lord would have rested, the other where his feet would have rested. And she, even worse, she completely ignored the message of the resurrection. And you know, that's just like so many folks today. Mary hung a black crepe, she hung black crepe paper on everything, regardless of the facts, and she refused to see hope, even though hope was still all around her. Sad. Sad, but that was her world, and that's our world today, folks. I mean, it's no wonder she didn't recognize the Lord Jesus. She was so busy being with wrapped up in her own sorrow that she couldn't see anything else, even when it was standing right in front of her. Sad, isn't it? Boy, you know, there's a lot of folks can't see the Lord even though he's standing right in front of them. Folks, I'm telling you, God does not sit up in heaven, look down upon us, and see what we're going through, and then go, "Well, looky there, I didn't know that was going to happen." No, God knows everything that's going on. God does not look over the battlements of heaven and see us going through the trials of life and go, "Whoops." No, my friend, trust him. Trust him. You're on the winning side. All right, so Mary exemplified a typical pessimistic attitude. Notice also concerning the sorrow, notice the evil connected to pessimism. You see, folks, there is certainly, there is a certain evil that being pessimistic can bring upon a person. Pessimism kills our hope and it blinds us to the truth. You see, in her pessimism, she could not see hope standing right in front of her. Think about it, folks. Jesus was right there and she couldn't see him. Why? Because she was too wrapped up in her own pessimism. The very person that she came to see was right there in front of her, and she could not see him because of her dim view on all matters. Listen, folks, spiritual pessimism will kill our faith. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get discouraged and throw up your hands and say, well, what's the use? I tell you what the use is. Jesus is coming again. So don't get weary in well-doing. It makes us unhappy, just like Mary was unhappy here. And furthermore, pessimism dishonors God. It makes God look weak and unsure. Truth is, nothing good ever comes from pessimism. So here we are now in 2021, and everything in our world is just completely upside down. We have this COVID virus. We have a socialist takeover of our government. We have a cancer everywhere you look, and we have chaos in our streets. I mean, we have so much against us. Truth is, everything is just a total mess, no matter where you look at. But remember this, wait a minute now, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And Jesus is coming again. Our risen Savior came out of that grave, ascended back to the Father in heaven with the promise that I'm coming again. So, boy, we got so much to look forward to. Be optimistic. One of these days we're going to be taken up to heaven, and I hope very soon. Mary saw two angels, but listen, we're going to see so many when we get up there, we're not going to be able to stand it. Second thing I want you to see, the word seeking. We had the word sorrow, but now secondly, the word seeking. The first word used to describe Mary Magdalene's encounter was the word sorrow. But the second word is the word seeking. Jesus said to her, look at your verse. Jesus said to her, whom seekest thou? This was a very interesting question and one that Mary could answer without shame. Oh, she loved the Lord. She was not ashamed of her Lord after what he had done for her. She could never be ashamed of the one who had so drastically and dramatically changed her life. No, she was seeking Jesus. Now, the problem with her search is that she was seeking, listen carefully now, she was seeking the Lord's corpse. You see, that was her problem. She was seeking the wrong thing. She was seeking a dead body. That's what she was looking for. And so she was looking for the wrong thing. What good would finding, think about it, what good would finding a deceased body do for her or for anyone else? What good would that do? So you went and you found his deceased body. What good's that going to do you? I mean, don't you see how she just got everything out of perspective here? Don't you see that? I mean, the problem with her search is she needs to be looking for the living Savior. All right? Not the dead Savior. Folks, you can never go wrong seeking after the Savior, but I'm begging you and I'm asking you, don't look for the dead one. Look for the alive Savior. And when you see him, oh my, you're going to be excited. I mean, she was not seeking fame. She was not seeking fortune, but she was seeking Jesus. She said to both the angels and to the man that she's supposed to be the gardener that she was seeking to find the Lord Jesus. Oh, listen, what are you seeking this morning, dear friend? What are you looking for this morning? Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Oh, seek him today while he may be found. Because you know, there's coming a day when he will not be found. So you better seek him today while there's still time. So many of our troubles are because we are seeking the wrong things or the wrong person. Men will spend their entire lives seeking things that only stay here and that others take once you pass out into eternity. Did you hear that? And that's so true, isn't it? Well, we got our stuff. We've got our things. We fill up our houses with stuff, and then we go rent some space in a building somewhere where we can put our extra stuff. That's amazing, isn't it? Only in America. I mean, we take so much pride in stuff. But folks, one of these days, you're going to leave it. And then your kids are going to fight over it. Probably. If you got anything. Now, if you're like us, we're going to leave ours and our kids are going to say, I knew it. Yeah, thanks a lot, Dad. All right, I got to hurry. Number three, the third word is supposition. You see, this whole encounter can be summed up by three words. Number one, sorrow. Number two, seeking. But the third word I want you to see is the word supposing. I want you to look at your verse in verse 15. What's it say? She, look at the middle of the verse. She, what's the next word? Supposing. Supposing. You see, this whole encounter can be summed up by her supposing. Oh, she was sorrowful. She was seeking. And now she is supposing. You know, the poor thing, it's a good thing the Lord was patient with her, wasn't it? Huh? And you know it's a good thing the Lord is patient with us too. Are you here this morning supposing? Well, I got news for you. He's real. He's real. Mary found that out. She found that out. And boy, when she did, oh my goodness, she was never the same. You know, there are a lot of folks who still do not recognize the true identity of our Savior. There's a lot of theologians and a lot of preachers and a lot of churches, and they don't recognize who the Lord Jesus is. They know about him, but they don't know him. I mean, instead, they will tell you, well, he was just a man and not God. Really? Well, how? Listen, I have done probably a couple thousand funerals in my years of pastoring, and I have gone by and stood at that grave, and I have watched many times as they lower that casket down into that vault. And there's been a couple of times where I've gotten into a conversation with someone and I've stood there and we've talked and the folks have all left. And then you see the backhoe coming over and taking the dirt and knocking it down around the grave. And there's been a couple of times where standing there talking, the backhoe drove off. And I'm just now standing there with one or two people and you look over and there's the grave. And you know, not one time has anybody ever gotten out of that grave. Not once. Now, I'll be honest, there's been a couple of them I thought, if anybody's coming out, that dude is. But they don't. They don't. They stay in the ground. But wait a minute. Jesus came out. Now, you mean to tell me that if somebody resurrected from the dead of his own volition, you would not say, wow, he must be God. He must be the Son of God. He must be God in the flesh. But Mary did not recognize the Lord in this encounter with him. She was so occupied with her circumstances that she was totally unaware of the one she was seeking was standing right there in front of her. And you know, folks, there are just so many people today who can't see him. I'm asking you this morning, would you see the Lord Jesus? Just like Mary did. Without even realizing she did it, she supposed him to be the gardener. Now, what's the Bible say about Jesus? Well, I'll tell you what it says. It tells us that he is the Son of the living God and that he is the creator of the entire universe. John 1:1-3. He created everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the creator. Not only that, he is the great King of kings and Lord of lords. Revelation 19:16 tells us he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he is also the only Savior of mankind from the condemnation of sin. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. You know what that means? That means that baptistry cannot save you. You say, well, are you going to heaven? Well, I've been baptized. No, that you just go in the water dry and you come out wet. That's the only thing that happens to you if you're not saved. That doesn't save you. The wages of sin is death. Somebody has to die for your sin. It's either going to be you for all eternity in hell, or you're going to trust the Lord Jesus who died on Calvary's cross for you. But somebody's got to die for your sin. It's that simple. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In other words, the Lord Jesus is the only way. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It does not say, for whosoever shall get baptized. It does not say, for whosoever shall join the church. It does not say, for whosoever gives the biggest offering. No, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You see, with the Lord Jesus, you don't have to suppose. You just don't have to suppose. You can know beyond a shadow of doubt that he is who he says he is. And he can do what he says he can do. That's our Savior, folks. When he resurrected on that first Easter Sunday morning, mark it down. Mark it down. He knew exactly what he was doing. Yep. He went to that cross and died on that cross. And your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world were placed upon his shoulders. Praise God. And he paid our sin debt. Amen. He died for us. Now, what do they do when someone dies? You bury them. Right? You bury them. And they buried our Savior. But he did not stay in that grave. He was delivered for our offenses, Paul said, but he was raised again for our justification. Thank the Lord for justification. Thank the Lord for salvation. Now let me ask you, whom do you seek this morning? Mary came seeking Jesus. And you know, what did the Lord Jesus say? He said, seek and you shall find. Amen. She was seeking the Lord, and the Lord made sure that she found what she was looking for. Oh, thank God. And he'll do the same for you. Let's bow our heads for just a moment, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. With no one looking around, let me ask you a couple of personal questions, please. If you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. There's no doubt about it. You say, Pastor, if something should happen to me and if I were to die and go out into eternity, I know for sure that I'm saved. I know for sure. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know for sure you're saved and on your way to heaven? You say, Preacher, I know. There's no doubt about it. Beyond a shadow of doubt, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved. I know it. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Good. You may put your hands down. Thank you. All right, now let me ask this question. If you're here today and you could not raise your hand with everybody else, first of all, let me thank you for being honest with me. You could have raised your hand right there. I would have never known the difference. But you were honest, and I appreciate that. Now I'm going to ask you to be honest one more time. Would you lift your hand right now and say, Pastor, I am not 100% sure I'm saved, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. I'm concerned about where I'm going to spend eternity. I know I need the Lord, Pastor. I know Jesus went to that cross and died for me. I understand that. So I want you to pray for me, preacher. I need the Lord. Would you lift your hand and hold it up right now and let me ask God to help you? Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm just not sure. Pray for me. I need the Lord. Anybody like that? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. I won't embarrass you. Nobody will know who you are, just you, me, and God. But I will pray and ask the Lord to help you. Anybody like that? Pastor, pray for me. I'm just not sure. Anybody? All right. Father, thank you now for our time together this morning. And I pray you'll help us to apply what we have heard today. It is sorrow and then it is the seeking, and then it is the supposition. And Father, we just have such a tendency to just make more out of what Jesus did than what's there. And Father, it's so simple. We're sinners, and Jesus died for us. And so, Father, help us to seek. Help us to seek the truth. And if there's someone here today who is not sure, they're not 100% sure, Father, help them today to trust the Lord as their Savior. And I want to pray for Christians all over this building, saved people. They know they're saved. Father, help us to live for you. Yes, these are trying times, but we're on the winning side. So, Father, help us to live like we're on the winning side. And we'll thank you and praise you for what's accomplished. In Christ's name, amen.